KPPPLP Fargo Moorhead, 88.1 FM.
Hey Darcy, it looks like you found me.
Welcome back to Finding Me here on your local non-commercial community radio station, KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead. Whether you're joining us at 88.1 FM, online at kppfm.com, or on Shoutcast, we're glad that you're with us tonight. I am Darcy Jada Corbett, and I'm joined in the studio with my amazing co-host, Nemo Tsikaris.
Good evening.
And on tonight's show, we're going to be beginning our three-part or four-part series. I haven't quite decided, Nemo, if it's going to be three or... It just depends. series on transgender voices. This is Transgender Awareness Month in the United States. It's a time for trans people to talk about the issues that concern them, to remind people that we're here. I mean, we should be doing this every month of the year, but it's especially important that we set aside some time to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're celebrating that here on KPPPLP
mm-hmm.
by having an entire month's worth of shows dedicated to trans voices. And next week, GLAAD, which is the LGBTQ organization that focuses on the representation and portrayal of LGBTQ people in the media, they're having their Transgender Awareness Week. And so we're going to be next week talking more about trans issues, but specifically issues related to violence and discrimination as part of our observance of that week. If you want more information about GLAAD's Transgender Awareness Week, you can go to www.glaad.org/transweek. Again, that's GLAAD, GLAAD.org/transweek.
All right.
And on tonight's show, we're talking about relationships, specifically family relationships and romantic relationships, specifically in the trans community. So mm-hmm. we're going to have several guests on who are supportive family members. We have someone from the community here in North Dakota, and then I'm kind of embarrassed, but my aunt is going to be coming on the show as well. She's listening all the way from South Carolina.
Wow.
She is a avid fan of Finding Me. She texts me on Thursday because she can't always listen to the show online as it's live, but she texts me on Thursday if the archive link hasn't been put up yet. And is like, your show isn't up yet. I want to hear it. So she's one of the most... One of the biggest fans of this show, I think. So
I apologize. I get very busy often. So
what I tell her is like, Nemo is like a one-man band over here at KPPP sometimes. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But she's looking forward to it, I know, and I'm looking forward to having her on as well.
Yeah, when we get more interns and volunteers, I will hopefully be able to train them to edit my show.
Well, and you know, even more importantly, when we get more money, we got to get some of that green stuff, some of that cheese coming into Finding Me, and we'll be talking more about how you, our listeners, can help us become a funded show here on KPPPLP.
Mm-hmm.
Check out our website at kpppfm.com/finding-me. There you can learn more about our upcoming shows, find links we've shared or talked about on the show tonight, and you can also send us messages. We really want to hear from you, our listeners, about what you want to hear about, what you want to talk about. If you want to be on the show and talk about issues important to you, we are definitely open to that and up to that. So please send us a message through our website, or you can tweet us your questions or comments to @media_PPP, #findingme. And we also post on Facebook a lot too, and that Facebook page is 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead. So just look us up and follow us, like us, call us, beep us if you want to reach us.
Yeah. Also, I don't mind if fans of the show also follow me on Twitter. If you don't know, my Twitter handle is @NemoPotatoes, like the vegetable. Nemo Potatoes rhymes with my last name. It's kind of an inside joke.
It's funny. I always, when I see Nemo Potatoes tweeting, I'm like, oh, that's so funny. I get the joke.
Yeah.
I like the joke. And the joke helps me remember how to say your name.
Exactly.
Though I kind of butcher it sometimes because I'm white and unaware. You can also follow me on Twitter @DarcyCorbett, DarcyCorbitt. I don't post very much, but when I do, it's usually good. So please follow us. We really want to catch up with you. And without further ado, Nemo, let's dance.
All right.
Sitting here thinking, we're sitting in your house in the middle of your street, and I just think it's awesome that this station is such a family thing.
It is
for you, and I feel like I'm part of your family even though I'm not, but
that's good though.
I feel like it's so cozy here at KPPP, and I have been able to find sort of a home and, I know, a place where I belong. And it's hard because when I came out as transgender, I lost my family largely. I mean, I still have a relationship with them, but I do as my former self.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard. And it can be really devastating. And I know your family is different. They've been very supportive of you for the most part. And that's It's just so beautiful to see that from the outside looking in, just to see a trans person being supported and loved by their family. Not just supported and loved, but having that family really lift them up and give them the hand that they need. Because to be honest, we do need a little bit of extra help. It's hard living in this unfriendly world. And just to have that protective family unit is so important.
It is. And it's kind of why I chose to live here with my mom. A lot of people either don't know this, but like my mom was divorced from my sister's father like years back, right? So then he remarried someone else. And I have found that when it was time for me to go to high school, there was some issues with, okay, listen, you can't go back and forth between high schools. It's just going to make very difficult life in terms of documents of what your education is and what credits will be counted for. And so you better choose a parent to stay with. And so I thought about it and I'm like, so far, mom's been the safest to be with. Not necessarily in terms of life stability, but just emotional support mostly. She knows me the best and has always had me in her best interests. Whereas my father is just kind of in and kind of wishy-washy. And technically, he's not even my father. It's my sister's father. And even then, he's kind of, you know, and so I was just like, you know what, that doesn't sound very supportive. And it was a few years ago where my sister had a vacation there with her father on her own, and I decided not to go because I had a bit of a spite with my stepmother, and I'm basically not welcome there anymore for those reasons. And it's not due to my gender identity or my sexual orientation. It was a race issue sort of thing, but and also kind of a disability sort of thing too. But anyway, my sister was walking with her grandfather on that side of the family, and he was making transphobic comments about an individual that they were passing by to his grandson, her brother. And this was a time where she spoke up and said, Grandpa, you can't talk about people like that, especially in front of our brother, who has a transgender brother. And like, he apparently had like backpedaled really quickly, like, oh, not like that. It's like, well, it is like that because that's who Nemo is. And so he must have like shut up or something and not brought it up. But otherwise, it's good to know that my sister steps up even when I'm not there.
Yeah, it's always helpful to know that your family has your back. And unfortunately for a lot of trans people, this isn't the case. Mm-hmm. And it has really bad ramifications for transgender people who don't have supportive parents. 75% report depression. 57% report attempting suicide, 55% report housing issues, 33% report life dissatisfaction, 15% reported mental health that was only 15% reported mental health that was very good or excellent, and 13% reported high self-esteem. So it really can have a huge impact on whether or not a trans person really has a good life. And actually, I misreported one of those statistics. 33% report life satisfaction, meaning that the opposite side of that, 67% report dissatisfaction. Mm. Very, very dismal numbers. But we kind of forget, we think a lot about trans youth, but we forget about trans adults and the effects of that. And this video from Barcroft TV really demonstrate what it's like being a trans adult. And this clip is about a transgender dad who, when he transitioned, or when she transitioned, I should say, they lost their family.
Wow. Let's take a look at that.
Abby Hughes looks like a woman who has it all, but her glamorous lifestyle has come at a price. Because Abby was actually born a male called Mark, and the decision to transition has cost her her marriage, her home, and her family.
I had everything taken off me. Everything. Sorry. And that's the way it was. Everything had gone. And everyone had gone.
Abby, from Manchester, says she knew she was different from an early age.
I used to pray at night and ask to be wake up, little girl, you know.
But she kept it a secret from her friends and family, taking the decision to live out her life as a man, marry and have children.
You try to live out life, living as the male that you were assigned to be.
Now, after 4 decades of hiding, Abby has finally summoned up the courage to share her true feelings, and she started a new life as a woman in Idaho, America.
You come here and there's no past record, and I'm very lucky in that I pass, as they call it. And so I'm just treated as Abby, and no one knows any different and doesn't remember any different. So my life is allowed to completely start again.
She's growing, you know. She's learning to be comfortable with who she's always been but never been able to express.
But she has had to pay the ultimate sacrifice for transitioning. She does not have the support of her family and is now estranged from her 6 children.
I'd had everything taken off me. Everything. Sorry. And that's the way it was. Everything had gone. And everyone had gone. You're leaving the old behind, and it's a great advantage, but you're sacrificing holding your children.
It's been a bitter pill to swallow, but Abby is determined not to hide her true self. She now plans to have full gender reassignment surgery, and she hopes that one day her family will accept her as she is.
This is the only picture really I've got, of which is heartbreaking. That was actually taken as I was leaving. And I treasure that one more than any, as you can imagine. It was very painful. That was literally a week before I left. And so it's very, very painful feelings go with that. So hopefully one day I'll get to see them all again. I certainly hope so.
So that was really sad.
Yeah, I'm like tearing up over here, and it's not fair.
No, it isn't. And the thing is, like, I remember back in college when I was in a anthropology class, and the thing is, when you look at history, there are many, 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 many evidences of third gender or transgender people existing in history. And scientifically speaking, it's the same thing. There's more than one gender and even sex. Yeah.
It's frustrating and it's not fair, I think, because, like you said, this is a normal part of human expression.
Yeah.
But people are penalized for it.
And yeah.
I mean, I can say from personal experience, it is really hard. And it's hard to find that balance between, do I want to be myself or do I want to have the people that I care about? And I grew up with 6 younger siblings. There are 9 people total in my family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. And I make the decision to live as a man when I see them because I want to have a relationship with my younger siblings. But it's devastating to me to do that. And it's hard.
Right. Because you're disguising yourself. You're not being the real you.
Well, and this last time I went, I had been on hormones already. And I just reminded myself, well, even if they treat me like a man, I'm not.
Right.
And so now with my driver's license, I don't know if I told our listeners, I got my driver's license updated with my gender markers.
Ooh.
So I'm officially legally a woman, and I didn't need that external validation, but it is nice to have.
Yeah.
I've been ordering drinks a lot more lately because I like to flash that ID.
Oh my goodness. I saw that Facebook update. I remember that.
It was actually really easy. North Dakota driver's license bureau was something to be desired, but lacked something to be desired. But other than that, it was great. And I'm really fortunate, you know, even if my parents aren't very supporting, I do have supportive siblings.
That's good.
And, you know, it's really important for us to have supportive families, which is why it's so hard for me not to have, you know, generally have one. And the reason that it's important for us to have supportive families is because transgender individuals who have supportive families, 72% report life satisfaction, 70% report mental health that was very good or excellent, 64% report high self-esteem, 23% report depression, 4% report attempting suicide, and 0% have housing issues. And we know that 40% of trans people make up, the homeless population is made up 40% of trans people. So those are really clear positive outcomes from having supportive families. And it's hard for me to not have that support, but I am really fortunate that I have siblings who are supportive. But one of the people who's been really helpful in my life and my transition from the moment I came out, actually the first family member I came out to, is my aunt in South Carolina. And she's been just a really supportive person in my life and has really helped me. And I'm really glad to be able to welcome her on the show tonight. How are you tonight, Mary Beth?
Hey, I'm glad to be here. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Well, you definitely deserve it. You listen to every show and then send really great feedback. such a good aunt.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you. So the reason we wanted to have you on the show tonight is just, we'd like to know just sort of in your own words, why, maybe this is hard and hard to put you on the spot like this, but why is supporting me as your trans family member so important to you?
Well, I just want you to be happy, and I want to do anything I can. It hurts to see the struggles that you face, so anything I can do to make it better for you. There's anything I would do anything to make it better. We're only 9 years apart, but you've always been my little baby. So I just want to do what I can. I know there's been a lot of hard times in the family, and so I want to be someone that I know you can count on.
Well, it's definitely, it does help, and just to let you know, and for all the family members out there who may be questioning whether or not they can support their trans family member, knowing that you are there and I can call you if I need help has been one of the biggest stress relievers for me in this process.
I'm so glad.
Most people, they're having trouble, like, for instance, when my car broke down and I needed help, you know, most people would call their parents, but I couldn't do that. Mm-hmm. But I could call you. And you were able to connect me with the help that I needed. And so having a family member who's older, who's more stable, who can help you with, like, life problems is so important. And I know we talk maybe 2 or 3 times a week, and sometimes it's all laughing, sometimes it's upset, because life is like that. So it's good to have you in my life and to know that I can count on you.
Well, thank you, sweetheart. Our relationship means so much to me. And you've been quite a support for me as well.
Well, I'm glad to be there.
That I can be there for you, honey.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. If you had any advice that you could give to any family members out there who are having trouble accepting their trans or gender nonconforming family member, what would it be?
Well, just first of all, you need to educate yourself, because I'm not transgender. I had a hard time understanding at first. So just educating about how they feel and just really trying to put yourself in their shoes and their situation. And just ultimately, you love this person and they're still the same person. And I'm just so happy that Darcy's happy with who she is now, because I saw her struggle so much through adolescence and when you were coming to terms with everything. And so I'm really so proud of you, because you're doing a great job, and so proud of the trans advocacy that you're doing. And I'm a Darcy fan.
Thank you. You know, we have buttons. I love Darcy buttons. So I'll bring you one for Christmas.
You need to bring me one.
I'll bring a ton, and then I can hit family members up for money.
Good. I'm going to wear it proudly.
Oh, well, thank you. And thank you for all that you do, Mary Beth. We appreciate having you on the show tonight.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'll be happy to come on anytime.
Okay. Well,
awesome.
And it was nice meeting you, Nemo.
It was nice meeting you too, Mary Beth. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good night.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. That was actually really hard.
Yeah.
I felt overcome with emotion. We just had this very personal moment on air. That was a thing. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad we did, because it's so important, I think, for people to know that. And just having an aunt or a cousin or an uncle or a grandparent that's supportive is important. But having your parents support you is also really important. It's because from the moment we enter the world, when we're born, our parents, the person that we rely on for everything, they're the person that we bond with the most. And that parent-child bond is so important that it can really, you know, mess a child up if that bond is broken for any reason. And so that's why it's so important for trans people to have supportive parents. And tonight with us, we have a supportive parent from the Fargo-Moorhead area who's going to talk to us about why she supports her trans son. Julie, it's great to have you on the show tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And we met over Pride Week when we were setting up the flags downtown, and you were just bubbling over with pride for trans son. It just really stood out to me. And I guess really what we would like to hear tonight, you know, not just for us, but for our listeners, why is it so important to you that you support your trans son?
One, I'm his parent, and that's what parents should be doing. They are going to support their child no matter what choices they choose to make in, you know, their lives as they grow. But as you mentioned prior, I've loved him since the first moment I saw him. I cannot imagine not ever not loving him. And the pride I have for him is seeing him blossom, because he struggled so much trying to find his place. And when he finally was able to come out and express himself and be who he wanted to be, he blossomed. And I know that's more of a female reference, but I can't think of any other way to explain it, is that he truly blossomed. He started meeting people, like-minded people, people who accepted him for who he was, saw the beauty that he could bring into their relationships, whether it's friendships or just as acquaintances. He has so much to give. He's always been a smiley person. Even from a baby, that would be one of the first remarks I would hear people say is, oh, wow, look at how he smiles. Look at that beautiful smile. And he has so much to give. And I can have nothing but pride in knowing that maybe in some simple way, his father and I have been able to give him that foundation to grow.
Just wonderful. And I'm really glad. It's just, when I met your son, that's the first thing I noticed, was he was just so happy, which is not something you see with trans people very often. I hate to say it, but it's true. A lot of them just are not happy because life is hard as a trans person, but your son is so happy, like so smiley, so relaxed, so confident in himself. And that's just such a beautiful thing to see. And there are a lot of parents listening perhaps tonight who are having trouble accepting their transgender, gender nonconforming child. And I know that every parent, even those who end up rejecting their children, like, they struggle because they do love their children and they want what's best for them. What advice do you have for those parents listening tonight?
I didn't struggle with it, but I will admit that my husband is still struggling with it. And his struggle isn't that he has a transgender son. His struggle is letting go of that daughter that he still holds so close to himself. That's his struggle. He doesn't have any hesitation to say him or he or call him by his chosen name. But that's his struggle. My struggle was never there. It was very natural. To me, I was very open for him to be whoever he wanted to be. So I don't think I have any struggles. As far as other parents, I'm sure every parent has their struggle with it. They're learning to accept that. My view has always been, what can I do to help him? What kind of advice can I give him and support? I can show him love and acceptance and guide him in any way I possibly can, whether that's to, you know, others who have better understanding on what he's going through, or just to be there and listen to him if he's unhappy or confused or sad about something. I don't know really, you know, it's different for each parent. So I can only go on what I personally am feeling. And in my personal view, I could not see it any other way. He is my son. He is my child. I love him unconditionally. And to not be a part of his life, I think, would be a bigger tragedy than rejecting him. I think that I would lose out on so much by not being there for him and having him a part of my life.
That's just really pretty.
Yeah.
I don't even know how else to... And not even pretty, beautiful, just beautiful. Mm-hmm. Julie, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. We really appreciate it.
Thank you again for the opportunity, and I hope in some way this touches somebody who's in conflict or confusion and will reach out for help with some organization or a friend or family member.
Yeah, I hope so too. Thank you so much, Julie. Have a good evening.
You're welcome. You too. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
If you're listening tonight and you're having trouble accepting your transgender, gender nonconforming child, please visit my website, darcycorbett.org/loved one. I've got several pages of resources, of articles to help you navigate the transition and the coming out process with your child. So please visit darcycorbett.org/loved one.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back on Finding Me, we're going to be talking more about relationships in the transgender community, and we'll be transitioning our conversation to dating really romantic relationships. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this quick break. Do you enjoy finding me? Consider donating to KPPPLP to help us keep bringing local queer color to your airwaves. KPPPLP is a low-power, non-commercial radio station funded by the generous gifts of our listeners. Your monthly gift of $5 or more will go a long way to help our wonderful team of volunteers, interns, and producers keep bringing you the high-quality, local content you've come to expect from KPPPLP.
Your donation to KPPPLP can be made online at kppfm.com/donate. In the message line, simply enter Finding Me to make sure your gift goes toward our show's operating costs. You can also mail a check to KPPPLP. Make check payable to The People's Press Project with KPPP-LP-FM/Finding Me in the memo and mail it to The People's Press Project, 1517 4th Avenue South, Moorhead, Minnesota, 56560. All donations made will be sent a tax-deductible receipt and email updates of the progress of the project.
Would you like to make an even bigger impact with your gift? Please consider becoming an underwriter of Finding Me. For more information, go to kppfm.org/underwriting-opportunities. Welcome back to KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead. You're listening to Finding Me on 88.1 FM, online at kppfm.com or on Shoutcast. We are the region's only queer radio station, and we are adding local queer color to your airwaves here on KPPPLP. On tonight's show, we're talking about relationships in the trans community, specifically family relationships and dating relationships. And in our last half hour, we covered the family in this next half hour, we're talking about dating relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I am one of your hosts, Darcy Jada Corbett, and I'm joined in the studio by the amazing, the spicy, the one and only Nemo Siqueiros.
Woohoo!
And we'd love for you to check out our website, kpppfm.com/finding-me. And you can learn more about our show, about the ones that are coming up, and you can message us using the messaging app. You can also send us a tweet at @media_PPP, #findingme. We really would love to hear from you. And let's continue our discussion of romantic relationships, Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
I admit I'm not a great expert on this. Well, I guess I sort of am, but I'm not really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've only ever been in two relationships as a trans person, and they were both disasters.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a topic that I think about a lot as a single, lonely, cold person up here in the Great White North.
Well, my experience has mostly been crushes, and it's always been kind of a weird thing for me, especially being autistic, because when I was designated female at birth, there were certain expectations society had for me. And being autistic, I was like, but why? So I just didn't follow that. And it also, like, the only thing that I maybe had retained being born female was the fact that I was supposed to like Disney princesses. And some Disney princesses are pretty cool. So, you know, I still like them. But when I had an interest in boys, it was more of a assertive interest in boys, because I don't know what it was, but it was just like, okay, the boys are not coming to me, so I gotta go to them, right? And that just didn't work out for me. And then as I grew older, I was like, you know what, girls are pretty too. And it went from there, where I would frequently, like, you know, admit that, like, hey, I like you to boys, because I did not know girls were an option until I was roughly 17. And I was like, oh, okay. But for some reason, I get a little bit more shyer around girls. So I'm just kind of like, you're pretty. So, you know, honestly, like, I was like always like strong about my feelings. I would just be out with that. And I think the worst experience I had was when I had actively gone after this guy in middle school and made it very clear that I was interested in him. And then one day, during a gym class that we shared, he was just like, I don't like you. And I'm like, rude. You could have just been like, you know, I'm not interested. And I would have gotten the message versus I don't like you as a person.
Yeah.
You know, that was unnecessary.
Well, you know, the research shows, psychological research, medical research shows that for trans people and for other members of the LGBTQ community, our sexual attraction is pretty much identical to heterosexual people.
Who would have thunk?
There really aren't. We were having this conversation earlier before we went on air that the human brain, when you look at MRIs, you can't tell if it's a white brain or a person of color brain. You
right.
can't tell if it's, you know, a straight brain or a gay, I mean, or a male or female. You can't tell. There's really no discernible difference. Our brains uh-huh. are the same. The way that we respond to arousal is the same.
Yeah.
Everything is the same. The only difference for trans people is that relationships can be tricky to navigate. They can be violent. They can be complicated. Uh-huh. And I think this clip from one of our favorite trans bloggers uh-huh. really sums up the struggle. Let's take a look.
Mm-hmm.
Hey guys, it's Jamie. This video is about my experience of being in a relationship as a trans guy. It's from the very beginning of my relationship, which was pretty much at the very beginning of my transition to now. My girlfriend Sharp and I have been together since November 2011. And this was a few months after I came out as trans, but a couple months before I started testosterone. Sharba does and always has identified as straight. I am the first trans guy that she's been in a relationship with, and she's the first person I've been in a relationship with since I came out and started living as male. Because we were best friends before I transitioned, I never had to deal with coming out to a potential partner as trans. So because we got together very early on in my transition, I was still really struggling with how I felt about myself, and I hadn't accepted the fact that I was trans. And so I was dealing with all of this stuff about how I felt about myself and all like feelings of dysphoria and just being desperate to get on testosterone and all of that stuff. And then being in a relationship, I don't want to make it sound like a bad thing, but it added this extra thing that I had to deal with. And it brought with it a lot of feelings of inadequacy and just not feeling good enough and feeling like Shaba could have done better. And none of this was caused by anything that Shaba did. She was, and it still is, absolutely amazing and one of my biggest supports. But it was just how I felt about myself, and it just, getting into a relationship just coincided with this really difficult time in my transition as well, and that just made it extra hard. And it's not something I really think about, because it does make me upset that I used to feel that way, but I definitely don't feel like that anymore. I think something that did make it harder in the beginning as well was how Shaba's family reacted to our relationship. There was a very, very tough period after they found out, and they just didn't accept our relationship. They didn't see me as male, they didn't want us to see each other or be together or even talk to each other, and they thought that Shaba was a lesbian and that we were a lesbian couple, basically. And I know it was a hugely difficult time for Shaba because of the way their family was reacting, but thankfully things have gotten substantially better. Like, they're incomparably better now with her family than they used to be. If you want to go hear the story about that, I will put the link on this side somewhere if you want to go check it out. As a couple, we just discussed boundaries in terms of what kind of questions and topics we were both comfortable with talking about, and we were just very open with each other about things, as well as talking about terminology that we were both happy with using. And I think it was just very, it really highlighted the whole, like, communication is key. It was just like talking things through really made it easier, and we worked out how to make each other feel more comfortable about everything, and that really helped. As I progressed in my own transition, I became a lot more comfortable with myself. I think testosterone and getting top surgery definitely helped with these things. Particularly top surgery, it increased my confidence so much, and it just made me so much more comfortable with myself. But it was also just a kind of progressive increase in positive feelings, I guess, if that makes sense. I stopped feeling inadequate, and I stopped feeling like I wasn't good enough, and I started kind of like believing in myself a bit more. I feel like that's really cheesy, but that's what happened. And it was just great, and it's kind of like, despite there being difficulties with being in a relationship early on, it balanced out to be better. Shaba has been one of my biggest supports throughout my whole transition. She's been there for every single stage. It's so crazy thinking back on. She's been there when I came out, and when I had my first appointments, and just through all the hard times and all the good times, like getting testosterone and having top surgery, and she's just supported me through every single step. And I just feel so lucky to have her in my life, because she really is like so amazing. And more cheese, yeah, I'm sorry. I hope this could help in some way. I just wanted to make it because I get asked a lot about being in a relationship as a trans guy and how I dealt with that, and just sort of the general topics. I thought I would just talk about my experience of it, and just show that things can feel really in the beginning, but things will get better with time, and you will feel better with time, and just time makes everything better. But no, seriously, it does get better. Thank you so much for watching. I'll see you next time. Bye.
That was so sweet. I really like Jamie. I'm glad we found that video. I'm glad he made that video. It's really, really, really sweet. And You know, this is a topic that I really struggle with, Nemo, and I'm just going to lay it out there. And I'm going to lay it out there for our listeners why it's such a hard topic for me. And it's because while I don't need external validation, while I don't need another person to validate me as a woman, I don't need another person to validate my worth as an individual. It is devastating to me that I'm single. Not because I feel like I need to be with someone, but because I'm really lonely. And because I realize that I'm single, not because I'm not desirable, not because I'm not funny, not because I'm not intelligent or successful or any of the other wonderful things about me. It's because I'm trans.
Right.
It's because when guys, even guys who were allies, quote unquote, who see me as, who tell me they see me as a woman, who treat me like a woman, don't really see me like a woman, because these same guys who are single, who want to date, would never consider dating me because of the way that my body is.
Mm-hmm.
And that is transphobia.
Yeah.
And we don't want to admit it, but it is.
Yeah.
If a guy will not date a woman because she's trans, or a woman won't date a guy because he's trans, that's mm-hmm. transphobia.
Yeah.
We have to talk about that.
Yeah.
And that is devastating to me, because all these people that I like and that I care about and who I would consider dating just won't date me because they can't get past the gender identity issue.
Right. I mean, it's the same thing with, like, you know, people making, you know, exceptions when they're supposed to be allies to people of color. When it's like, so what's bothering you? It's my blackness or my brownness, isn't it? And it's like, yeah, basically.
It's like, I support you as a person of color, but I want you to act like a white person.
Right. And it's just like,
but that's,
I can't racist. Tone it down. I cannot tone it down.
And, you know, prove me wrong, listeners. Prove me wrong. But I have been at this for a long time. And mm-hmm. time and time again, I tell guys, I'm interested in you. I'd be interested in exploring my feelings with you. And they're like, oh, I like you as a friend. And you're like, okay, well then what is it? Is it because I'm fat, or is it because I'm trans? Because other than that, I like have a great personality. I'm really uh-huh. smart. I'm really successful. Look, on paper, anybody would be lucky to be with me.
Right?
I'm going to lay that out there. I'm going to put that out there. I'm going to own that. This right. is not a commercial for Darcy Corbett, but this is me saying, look, on paper, I am a steal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm great. I got a lot of repressed love to give.
Mm-hmm.
But people can't get past the fact that I'm trans, and that hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many trans people in this city, in this country,
mm-hmm.
who feel the same way.
Yeah.
Who are lonely, who want to be in a relationship, but can't be because nobody will give them the time of day because they're trans.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it's BS, mm-hmm. is what it is.
Yeah.
It's transphobia, and it's got to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're an ally, and you're an ally man, or even an ally woman, because mm-hmm. look, I'm an equal opportunity lover here.
Mm-hmm.
Women won't give me the time of day either.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if you are an ally and you can't see yourself dating a trans person, that's a serious problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's a serious problem that you need to start thinking about.
Right.
That we as a community need to talk about, because that just shows you the length to which this internalized transphobia, which this transphobia that exists, how deep it is, how pervasive it is.
Mm-hmm.
And every relationship that I've ever had as a trans person has been with a trans person, because I felt safe and comfortable with them, because I knew they weren't going to judge me based on my body, until someone did. A trans person did.
And oh.
Nobody is safe from this. No uh-uh. one is safe from this. And It hurts. And I don't want to make this all about me, but it is something that I've thought a lot about. And
well, it's important to talk about, because this is the experience of many transgendered people and non-conforming folk. So,
you know, it's like, well, you don't meet my characteristics or my specifications for what a woman should be.
Right.
Or what my ideal woman should be. And it's like, right. Well, what is your ideal woman? Like a cisgender woman? Like,
right. And round back again, which we'll talk about next week, is when men find an interest in you and then they find out you're transgender, then it's like they freak out. And
well, and that's why I won't use dating sites, because right. this happened to me time and time again. I would get comfortable with someone and talk to them, and then I'd tell them I was trans, usually like pretty quick into the game, because I don't want to waste my time.
Right.
And
I mean, better not let it be a surprise later on, right?
Yeah, like when you're about to, you know,
right. And when, and when you're vulnerable, like, too. So,
well, and that's happened to me before. I thought I'd made it clear to this guy that I was trans,
and apparently they just did not get the message.
He didn't get trans until until I was in a very vulnerable place, and then he got what trans was. And it, fortunately, he was really gracious about it.
Okay.
But
okay.
I was terrified, so yeah. I've been very careful
right.
from this point forward of not getting in that position again. And
right.
that really segues really well into some other issues that are, you know, pervasive in the trans community, and that is relationship violence is so high.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result, STD and STI rates are incredibly high.
Mm-hmm.
And trans people are notorious for not taking care of their sexual health. And it's not, I'm not saying that to be like pointing a finger and saying, well, you need to take better care of your Christmas.
Sometimes we just don't have the access, I would suppose, right?
That's exactly what it is. No access. Because I am not about to walk up into the doctor's office and say, yeah, I have an itch down there.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I have to show my down there to the provider.
Right.
That's incredibly difficult. The only sexual health clinic that I feel comfortable going to is in Minneapolis. I'm mm-hmm. not going to drive 8 hours round trip for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's so much easier being a gay man or a lesbian. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not saying that it's not difficult, but of course, having lived as a gay man, I can say it is a lot easier to date and take care of your sexual health as a gay man than it is as a trans woman because of these issues, the lack of access, the lack of healthcare coverage, the lack of supportive medical providers in the area. It's so terrifying. And, you know, we have the same, you know, when we're while we're talking about sexual health, we have this idea that, well, a penis is a man body part and a vagina is a woman body part.
Right, but what that's happens, just not the case.
It isn't. What happens when a trans woman has issues with her prostate?
Right, or intersexual people when they're born with both or leaning one way or the other depending on how they are born.
Or if you're a trans man and you have, I mean, you're going to have your period until you start hormone replacement. I mean, that is a thing that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you still are going to have checkups. And so we really have to transition away from looking at our bodies as being gendered one way or the other. We just have a body. We have body parts because of the way that we are.
Mm-hmm.
And those body parts are not inherently male or female. We have to start thinking about things from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because just having the body parts does not make you a male or a female.
Right.
Because if you were to do a profile of my DNA right now,
mm-hmm.
I would look like a cisgender female on paper
mm-hmm.
because of my hormone structure. It's completely female now. The only thing that would tip you off is my chromosomes are different.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. So it's just,
even with chromosomes, like, again, with intersexual people, their chromosomes can say one thing, but then it comes out, but it's just something else.
Well, they're not reliable.
Right. Chromosomes don't mean, you know, what you're taught in school, which is the binary. There's many other different things. Like, you know, there's just multitudes of mix-ups that happen, all right? And that's how weird DNA kind of is in general.
Yeah, so, I mean, chromosomes are not reliable. Mm-mm. And we have to stop thinking about human beings in those terms. We have to move away from that because when we don't, we oppress people.
Mm-hmm.
When we don't, people end up being alone and miserable and unhappy because they don't have anyone to talk to. They don't have anyone to spend their life with.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have a family, that can be especially hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like for me, where am I going to spend my holidays?
Right.
That's a decision I have to make every year. And unfortunately, I have to make the decision to be unhappy during the holidays
mm-hmm.
because I don't have anyone else to spend it with. And mm-hmm. so that's, I think, the hardest part of, you know, dating and being in relationships as a transgender person. And, you know, I wish that I had better resources on my website for this, but I just don't because I have not had the time to put them together. But
mm-hmm.
I do have links
mm-hmm.
to at least help you with sexual health and sexual relationship issues. And so if you are a trans person or you're in a relationship with a trans person and you need access to resources, go to my website, DarcyCorbett.org/health, DarcyCorbett.org/health. And if you click on the link for sexual health, that'll take you down the page to the links for domestic abuse, STI, and HIV. And then also section on fertility and reproduction. Because as trans people, you can have babies. In mm-hmm. fact, there have been several cases this year of trans couples having a baby. And it's just so sweet. So there's more information there if you are interested in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. What a show.
Yeah.
So much information to have to cram into an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to move on to queer news now?
Yes, real quick.
Okay.
In a couple weeks from now, there will be a transgender and nonconforming art webinar. All right. So what you got to do is if you are a transgender or nonconforming artist, then you can log into bit.ly/TGNC-art-webinar for a free webinar for trans and gender nonconforming artists on Thursday, November 17th, 2 to 3:30 p.m. Central Time. If you are listening outside Central Time, look at a time zone map and you can figure that out pretty quickly. Or Google, it's pretty helpful. You can learn how to sell your visual artwork with Faviana Rodriguez and how to promote your work on social media with Alok Vade Menon. You can call in by phone by dialing in the United States 1-872-240-3412. The access code is 828-436. 4493, and the audio PIN is the pound key. For more information, go to tdor.co.
Next Sunday, November 20th, join the local transgender community for a service in honor of Transgender Day of Remembrance at First Congregational United Church of Christ in Moorhead. The service begins at 6 p.m. The church is located at the corner of 8th and 4th, and the address is 406 8th Street South in Moorhead. As a commitment to our listeners and to continue the work we've been doing on Finding Me, Nemo and I are in the process of looking for underwriters for our show. Underwriters allow us to stay on the air and deliver the same high-quality content every week on KPPPLP.
We have a variety of underwriting opportunities available. While it is not technically advertisement, underwriting acknowledges your support. By becoming an underwriter through your donation, you will receive on-air mentions that highlight your business or organization, very similar to what you may hear on public radio. Kind of like how you hear, and from viewers like you. Thank you. Right?
Yeah.
So what's even better, your donations are completely tax deductible. Unlike other forms of advertising, you can feel good knowing you have done something important for your community, so your community can feel good about supporting you.
On our next show, we'll be talking about violence and discrimination statistics that transgender and gender nonconforming people face. Tune in next week at 5 p.m. on Wednesday here on KPPPLP 88.1 FM.
Tonight's show was written by Darcy Corbett and produced and engineered by Nemo Cicados. Finding Me is a project of KPPPLP 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead.
KPPPLP is adding local color to your airwaves. We're broadcasting on Shoutcast, and you can find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM here in the Fargo-Moorhead region. You can contact us at 701-566-0917, at @media_PPP, email Cindy at kpppfm.com or Duke at kpppfm.com. Follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead, The People's Press Project, and Mexican.
Donations to Fargo-Moorhead's newest low-power commercial-free radio station can be made at our website on kpppfm.com.
Thanks for tuning in. See you next Wednesday at 5 here on Finding Me.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. If I should call you up, invest a dime, and you say you belong to me and ease my mind, imagine how the world could be so very fine, so happy together. Toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together, so happy together. And how is the weather? So happy together.